Welcome to the BizNews Rugby Show. I'm joined by our host, Rory Steyn, today. Rory, how are you doing?
I'm well, thanks, Patrick. And how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. So this week, I don't know if it was this week or last week, but we kicked off the new BizNews Rugby newsletter, Rory. And this week's topic of discussion was the Kolkata Cup, the England versus Scotland fixture, which is this Saturday at Twickenham. So you want to go in depth into the oldest international rugby rivalry in the world?
Certainly. And I think that a lot of, certainly a lot of rugby supporters of my generation find the history behind many of these tournaments quite fascinating. And the England-Scotland rivalry, now known as the Kolkata Cup, is the oldest rivalry in rugby. And it's also, it was also the first international rugby match ever played, way back in 1871 in Edinburgh. And it has evolved into something that means a great deal to both of those countries because of the history. And the Kolkata Cup itself, the actual trophy, Patrick, has got a very interesting history because it started in Kolkata in India, a year after that historic first international was played in Edinburgh, because there were British troops all over India during that time in its history, the Raj. And Scottish and English soldiers decided to play a game of rugby. And that became an annual fixture, but didn't last very long. It only lasted about 4 or 5 years until, with the withdrawal of the troops and the dwindling interest amongst the men of that time in Bengal province in India, who were, I would say, tempted by polo, by tennis, and possibly even cricket as alternative pastimes, the numbers just dwindled. So the Kolkata Rugby Football Club was actually formed following that first match and folded up, as I say, not many years later. So what they did was they withdrew all of their funds. They had a handful of rupees, silver rupees, 270 of them to be precise. So they melted that lot down. They gave the coins to a silversmith who melted them down and then created that beautiful trophy. And it really is, it's certainly a unique trophy because it's got three cobras. It's round, and slightly narrower at the top than it is at the base. And it's got these three cobras that form three handles with an Indian elephant on the lid. And it's pure silver. So it's a very valuable trophy, but it's also an historic one for the reasons I gave. And now it's competed for every year in the Six Nations, but there are 131 years of history. As the record stands at the moment, Patrick, England have won 71 of those 131 fixtures, with Scotland on 44 wins and 16 draws, which is quite a high number of draws, you know, even though it's 131 years that they've competed, because that's well over 10%. It's probably something like 12 or 13% of the number of fixtures ended in a draw. I suppose in the early days, you know, the games were very low scoring, so you could have a 3-all draw and it was still an absorbing contest. But the point is that Scotland are on a roll. So they've won the last four. So they're going for a five-peat tomorrow, if there is such a word, a five-peat at Twickenham. And I know England are desperate to halt that run of Scottish wins. I mean, it's bad enough losing the Kolkata Cup. It's certainly not great when you do so at your home ground. So Scotland go to Twickenham tomorrow and try and make it five in a row. Just an incredible record and an incredible piece of history that is played for every year. And I dare say it means more to the Scots than it does to the English, although it's not exactly a trivial thing to the English. But for the Scots, you know, given the history and especially the military history, because the lyrics of O Flower of Scotland speak about sending Proud Edward's army homeward to think again, you know, so those words were now belted out, mean a massive amount to Scottish players and their fans. So bring on Twickenham tomorrow.
Yeah, and you can find that full piece that Rory wrote on biznews.com under the rugby section. And then in that piece, there is a link to subscribe to the Biznews Rugby newsletter and get that every week. Rory, you did say, and maybe means a little bit more to the Scots, and you did in your piece say that you wouldn't bet against them. But if you had to give a prediction for the game tomorrow, what would you say?
It's a tough one to call, Patrick, for a host of reasons. You know, England's arguably their tail is up because they beat France in the previous, it wasn't last week, but the previous round of the Six Nations. But, you know, it was a good win, but I don't think it was by any means a convincing one. France were just so poor, you know, very, very uncharacteristically so. I've never seen a French team make that many mistakes. I mean, even Antoine Dupont himself knocked a ball on with an open try line just about. So I wouldn't read too much into that win, although it obviously can give them a psychological boost. I think England will be more motivated by this desire not to lose another Calcutta Cup game at Twickenham and end Scotland's four in a row. So I think that's a bigger motivation. If you look at Scotland, they are always up for this fixture. Honestly, no other match means as much. And as I said in that piece of mine, you know, when the Six Nations fixtures are released, every Scotland rugby fan just looks for when do we play England. And it's that important to them and the players. But it's a long-winded way of answering your question. So I think it's going to be tight. Without Sione Tuipulotu and one or two other injuries, Scotland are definitely weakened. But I don't think that's going to be as important tomorrow because I'm expecting a huge game from Finn Russell. He's been kind of quiet in the first two matches that Scotland played in the Six Nations. And I think cometh the hour, cometh the man. I'm expecting almost a man of the match performance tomorrow from Finn Russell. So I'm going to call, without sitting on the fence, it's going to be 3 to 5 points either way, I think. And my heart says Scotland. I'm not sure that my head does, Patrick. So I'm going to leave it to the 80 minutes on the field tomorrow, but it's going to be a close one and it's going to be a great game. Always is.
Yeah, almost too close to call. I think one that you might not want to bet on if you're a betting man.
Yeah.
But also tomorrow in the Six Nations, we've got top of the table Ireland against a struggling Wales side who was that side was the topic of much conversation last week with Joel Stransky.
Yes.
Do you think Wales could get a result at home or unlikely?
Very unlikely. Nothing is ever impossible with rugby and with sport in general. You know, Patrick, the history or the pages of sporting history are littered with the names of teams that couldn't lose. And while it looks like Ireland cannot lose tomorrow, even though it's in Cardiff, nothing's impossible. So I want to say two things about that, and both have to do with the selection. So this is the first post-Gatland Welsh team, you know, chosen by Matt Sherritt. And I must say that he's done the sensible thing. You know, previously, Scotland had a 12 at 10, a 12 at 12, and a 12 at 13. And he's gone and picked a proper fly half at 10, bringing back his name just escapes me now. I'm so sorry. The Welsh guy who took over from Dan Bigger, very, very good goal kicker. But so the point is they've picked a fly off at 10 and they've brought back an old hand at 13. So you've got a proper back line in play there. So I think that would indicate that, you know, Wales are going to go down almost the traditional route, pick players in there, don't tinker, don't experiment by playing players out of position and hoping for, you know, some kind of Hail Mary. So I think that they've done the right thing there and they are certainly going to be motivated. I think they are stung by the criticisms of the past year. They haven't won in a full calendar year. I don't think they've got the player depth, the talent depth, Patrick. That's the point. But they're a proud, proud rugby nation. And you only have to ask the Springboks. You know, Rossie Erasmus made the point in Japan in 2019 that the team that the Springboks struggle the most against year in and year out is Wales because of the way they play. They give nothing away. They kick a lot and they wait for you to make mistakes. And if you think you're going to run it, then they'll just say thanks very much. So I'm expecting them to play a kicking game. Ireland have also chosen a very interesting team. It's a strong one, but they've left out certain key players. They put others on the bench. Like you've got Bundy Aki on the bench, not starting, with Ringrose and Henshaw in the center. You don't have Hugo Keenan at fullback, but the spine of the team remains the same. You know, you've still got James Lowe on the wing. You've still got Prendergast and Jamison Gibson-Park at 9 and 10. Caelan Doris is not at number 8, so he's also been given a rest, but the rest of the pack is strong. You've got Tyke Byrne in there. You've got Andrew Porter at 2-set. So I think they're going to be too strong for Wales, but I don't think it's going to be the 43-0 drubbing that France gave Wales. So I'm expecting maybe 20 points, maybe 25 points to Ireland. You know, that'll be the winning margin, I expect. But I think this game is going to be viewed by a lot of rugby pundits, not just those of the Welsh variety, with a lot of interest. So I'm looking forward to the game.
Yeah, and then our final Six Nations game of the weekend on Sunday, Italy versus France, both teams with one win and one loss, both teams with victories over Wales. Who's your team there in Italy?
I have to go with France, Patrick. You know, they used the word stung by the criticism in terms of Wales, but France would definitely have been stung by their performance against England. The French media were not very complimentary at all. And just remember that last year in Paris, Italy nearly beat them. In fact, should have beaten them. So there's that too. There's that bit of sting that they've, you know, that they need to exercise. So I'm seeing France winning comfortably, also probably in the 15 to 22 point range. It's going to be very tough for Italy, but Italy are a really good side and should never be overlooked. They've got some absolutely world-class players in that side. You know, Melanchello, their fly half, Nas, he's playing some extraordinary rugby. You know, you've got Seb Negroni, who I don't know whether he's playing on the flank or in the second row tomorrow, but they've got a really good team. And remember, since it's quite close to all of our hearts, Franco Smith is credited for this, you know, the kind of the long road that Italian rugby has walked, because he is very unfairly criticized, in my view, because of his time as head coach of Italy. But if you look at his time as director of rugby with the Italian Rugby Federation, there was no player pipeline when he took over as head coach. There were just the two professional franchises, and some of the other players were, you know, amateurs in the sense that they weren't professional, fully professional. They had other jobs. So he put a player pipeline in place, and this Italy that we are seeing today, and they're still young, by the way, they are the result of the player pipeline put in place by Franco Smith. So they've been through the academy, through the development programs of Italian rugby for at least 6 years. And now look at the rugby they're playing. I mean, they are not automatic wooden spoonists any longer. So yeah, I'm seeing a French win. And I'm seeing France kind of coming back hard on the rebound, and Italy will be competitive at least for the first 50 or 60 minutes. But I think that once France bring that big pack of theirs off the bench, they're going to run away with it towards the end. So it's going to be a game, I think, won in the last quarter of the match. But I am saying France by 18 points.
Well, three enthralling matches of Six Nations rugby this weekend. And then a lot closer to home, there's just the one URC fixture this weekend, the Jukskei Derby, Bulls versus Lions at Loftus. Lions coming off a win against the Stormers and Bulls coming off a home loss to the Sharks. Who's your favorite here?
You know, Patrick, it's weird. I say this every week. Surely the Bulls are sick and tired of losing at Loftus, and yet they went and lost again. last weekend against the Sharks. So, and as good as the Lions were, and they were really good against the Stormers at Ellis Park, the last time this Yuxkay derby was played, it was at Ellis Park, and the Bulls managed to win there. So the question is, I guess, can the Lions use the impetus coming off that really good Stormers win and turn the tables on the other side of the Boerewors curtain at Loftus? I don't think so. Much as I would like them to do that and prove me wrong, I think, again, the Bulls are going to, I mean, you can imagine how Jake White and the coaching staff have been laying into them for these losses at Loftus, which is their fortress. I'm expecting a big crowd at Loftus. And, you know, they really do have the rub over their southern rivals in this Yuxkay derby. So I'm expecting the Bulls to win maybe by 12 or 13 points, Patrick. But as I said, I would love to be proven wrong. I love the brand of rugby that the Lions play. They play with so much heart. And that little 13 center that's just been called up, is it Henko van Wyk? Just been called up to Russie's squad. He is a man to keep an eye on from the Lions. He has an amazing ability to stay on his feet. He's got great feet, very quick, but strong. He's not a very big man, but he beats tackles. He bounces tacklers. And he'll be a handful. Kewan Horn is probably in the form of his life at the back there. And Tlaba Kanye has just been called up to the box squad. And that's a guy, he's also young, certainly a man for the future. You know, people would perhaps point to his weight. I think when you're playing in the front row, the weight is an advantage. As long as he can keep the cardiovascular fitness and the strength up, I think he's going to be an asset both for the Lions, presuming he stays at the Lions, as well as for the box into the future. So much to look forward to there. But again, heart says Lions, go turn the tables, you know, make it one all in the 2025 Yuxkay Derby. But my head says the Bulls are going to not lose another one, and they're going to be too strong. And they, you know, they don't want to have to answer to angry Loftus fans to lose another game at their fortress there. So I'm saying Bulls, Patrick.
Yeah, well, an exciting weekend of rugby ahead, no doubt. Rory Steyn, the man behind BizNews Rugby, and I'm Patrick Kidd from BizNews.com.